Let's see, what time is it? I'm not going to make any promises, but we got, it's 22 till noon. I never promised to get you out by noon. Just remember that, all right? I never promised that. No, it doesn't say that, but I'll tell you what, it'll be closer to noon than it will be 12:30. I can promise that much, all right? So that's good enough, right? I'll tell you what, we're going to do this. Are we allowed to have some fun on Christmas morning?
Yeah.
I'm going to do a Christmas survey, all right? Now, I have done this in the past where I make people like actually go to a side of the room. We are not going to do that because that sounds like chaos. And some of you would sit there like, I ain't moving. And you know, so we're not going to do that. So we will do a simple survey of raised hands. You're going to have two choices. I would like you to pick one of the choices, okay? I know, yes, you can technically abstain from voting, but you're going to help me. I've got a pen here, and I'm going to answer some questions that I have had for a long time and just want to know. I know my answers, but I want to know popular opinion, okay? And so you are a pretty good poll size here. We can get some answers. All right, so question number one, what is Christmas like at your house? And I give you two song titles. Is it Silent Night or Rocking Around the Christmas Tree? All right, those are your two choices, Silent Night or Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. So let me see hands for Silent Night. All right, put them down. Let me see hands for Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Oh, it was, you know, it was closer than I thought it was going to be, but Rocking Around the Christmas Tree it is. All right, I'll remember that. All right, next one here. This has been a topic of debate among families, maybe parents versus children for days. And some of you may have to just remember back to your childhood because right now maybe you're not getting up Christmas morning to open presents with kids or those kind of things. But when it was that time, you got to pick between these two times. Now, you might end up somewhere in between, but are you the early, like 6 a.m., or the late, like 9 a.m.? Okay, those are your two choices, 6 a.m. or 9 a.m. Now, we were like smack dab in the middle this morning, so I don't even know how to answer that question for ourselves. All right, so let me see your hands for the early one, 6 a.m. Oh, yeah, your parents loved you, didn't they? All right, let me see the hands for the 9 a.m. people. Close, but the 6 a.m. wins. All right, I see. That surprises me. All right, I know how a couple people are going to vote on this one, but would you rather have white Christmas or Christmas in Hawaii? You ever heard that song, Christmas Island? I have to say, Mary gave me the greatest present ever. She made my own private island. And, you know, the On Christmas Island. Anyway, that sounds great, you know. So those are your two choices. So let me see your hands for white Christmas. There's quite a few white Christmases. All right, let me see your hands for Christmas in Hawaii. I think white Christmas still wins, all right? All right, next one right here. Would you rather have two awesome presents or 20 good presents? Now, that's a tough one right there, right? You know, and two awesome presents or 20 good presents? So, raise your hand for two awesome presents. Ooh, that's quite a few right there. We're talking new car, new phone, you know, that kind of stuff. All right, raise your hand for 20 good presents. See, I'm kind of in the 20 good presents. Okay. I like opening presents, so. All right, so two awesome presents wins. All right. Tell me your true, honest opinions. Close for Christmas, yes or no? Close for Christmas, yes or no? Raise your hand for yes. Oh, that's not bad. Getting close. No, we're not talking optional, you know, clothing optional Christmases. That's the church down the way there. All right, and raise your hand for no clothes on Christmas. All right, I think the yeses actually won on that one, all right? You are such mature, developed people. All right, eggnog, like it or loathe it? Eggnog, like it or loathe it? Raise your hand for you like it. All right, put your hands down and raise your hands for loathe it. Means you don't like it. Oh, man, that's like, that one's pretty smack dab down the middle. I don't know what to do with that one. All right, I'm going to circle the or. All right, we have this debate at my house on what to eat for Christmas dinner. Is it turkey or ham? Turkey or ham? So raise your hand for ham. Okay, put them down. Raise your hand for turkey. Oh, no. I'm not going to take the time to count, but I think ham won by just a little bit. No, actually, I vote for turkey. It's my mom that likes the ham, so I lose every year. So that's what happens on that one. All right, candy canes, two choices. Good for eating or good for decoration? Because, well, I mean, you can still decorate, but the question is, do you actually eat the candy canes, okay? Raise your hand if you actually like to eat a peppermint candy cane. You actually like that. All right, raise your hand now if you think they're only good for decorations. I think eating them won by just a little. See, I try to get some very controversial ones here. We're pretty close on some of these. All right, since we're talking about candy canes, do you lick them and suck them, or do you bite them and chew them? All right? I'm a cruncher. I can eat a candy cane in about 30 seconds flat, you know, so where some of you are, okay? All right, so with me, all the biter and chewers for the candy canes. All right? Licking the candy cane. I don't know. That was like dead even. Or, all right, this is for my wife. She introduced this tradition to our family. It was not part of my tradition, but it was part of her tradition. And so my kids have it. Have you ever heard of putting an orange in the toe of the stocking? Raise your hand if yes, you have heard of that. Putting an orange in the toe of the stocking.
I heard Becca say it, but not
that. All right, put your hands down. How about you've never heard of that? Well, you learned something. This year, just to mess with Ben, I put a lemon, so that was fun. All right, age-old debate right here. Real tree or fake tree? Real tree, let's see it. You live in northern Michigan. All right, put them down. Let's see it for the fake trees. I got three fake trees in my house. Oh, man, that's dead even, too. I don't know how to... you guys are not helping. All right, Christmas movie preference. We're going classic It's a Wonderful Life or new classic Elf. All right, if you had to watch one of those, which one would it be? Let's use your hands for It's a Wonderful Life. And raise your hands for Elf. I think Elf wins by a little, believe it or not. I watched both this year, so I'm off the hook. All right, when it comes to presents, open one at a time or free-for-all? All right, I've never understood the free-for-all, but there are some families who do that. They just come down the stairs and it goes like that. All right, so let me see your hands for one at a time. All right, good. We got some reasonable. Let me see the hands for all those free-for-all people. Ah, I knew there's a few out there. It's just find something with your name on it and open it. All right. We'll see on this one. Maybe this is a generational thing. But have you ever actually eaten fruitcake? Raise your hand for yes. Now, you're all surprised. You think everybody has. Now, put your hands down. Now, let's see how many would say no, you've never actually eaten fruitcake. See, there's a lot more than you thought right there, isn't there? I think Kay makes a fruitcake, don't you, Kay? You do. Don't, no? Poppy seed bread. Okay. All right. I got two more, all right, and then we'll get into a message, I promise. When it comes to opening presents, do you tear open the present or do you unwrap the present? All right, so let's see your hands for tear open. All right, let me see the unwrappers. You guys probably saved the wrapping paper too, fold it back up. I've seen you people. I've watched you. When we're doing the one at a time, I'm like, really? Is this what we're going to do right now? And this last one I just added to the list. It was inspired by Carl the other day. The Christmas tree wasn't working. When it comes to Christmas lights and they're not working, throw it away or try to fix it. All right? Christmas lights not working. You plug them in. Throw it away or try to fix it. Raise your hand for throw it away. I'm a throw it away guy right here. All right? There's a lot of... I think you're going to lose on this one, Carl. Raise your hand for fix it. I feel for you guys, going down the line one at a time, and that's why they go on clearance after Christmas, right?
Pastor Sam, you and I can sit back and laugh at
Right. All right, well, this morning, the title of the message is The Greatest Gift. So I hope maybe some of those fun things will help us transition into that. I hope you've already had a great Christmas morning and have a great Christmas day as well. But The Greatest Gift. Speaking of It's a Wonderful Life, I should have asked this question. How many of you parents make your children do certain Christmas traditions, whether they want them or not? Yeah, see, that's me. I said, I bribed them, I begged them, I yelled at them. I said, we're all sitting down and we're watching It's a Wonderful Life. They're like, this movie is in black and white. I couldn't find the color version. And so we watched it. And I enjoyed it so much. And I was still crying the next morning. And it was great. Saying Merry Christmas to my coffee. And, you know, it was fun. But we watched a little bit of the behind the scenes documentary to it, and the story of It's a Wonderful Life was actually based on a short story that was on a Christmas card that was called The Greatest Gift. Now, I'd already had thoughts for this message, but I just thought those things came together, and there's a little Christmas trivia for you. There was a short story that was bought and passed down through a couple directors before it got to Frank Capra, and it was originally called The Greatest Gift. All right. So how many of you can remember growing up your favorite gift? Now, I don't have time to interview every one of you, but can you remember as a kid just that one thing that you really wanted and then you finally got it? I was telling my son Isaac that I got him a gift of something that I had always wanted as a kid and never got. And he was trying to figure it out. He was looking up 60s toys, and I said, I'm not that old. And anyway, so we finally got to the right decade, and he never did figure it out, but basically it was when I was growing up, you know, around his age, you know, between 10 and 12, my friends got cool remote control cars, you know. Not, you know, the only remote control cars I had a wire, and, you know, you walked behind it. That is not a remote control car. I'm talking about these things that you can, you know, whip around the roads, and then, you know, they were a lot of fun. And so I was able to get him a remote control car this year, and it's charging right now, and I cannot wait to play with it. I really can't. I cannot wait to drive my wife crazy, zooming that thing around the house, and we're going to have Christmas at my house. I'm telling you, it's going to be good. But the greatest gift I got growing up, now some of you, this might be foreign, but I remember when I got a Walkman. A Walkman. If you don't know what that is, it is a portable cassette player. You put headphones in it. Not only did I get a Walkman, but I got the new DC Talk Free at Last tape. And that was like the thing. That was the Christian hip hop group back then. And I got that, and I had all the songs memorized by the end of Christmas Day. That's how cool I was. I sat there with my buzz haircut and my striped socks, and I. That was my greatest gift right there. Now, all that being said, I don't know what your greatest gift, but the greatest gift ever given is Jesus. The greatest gift ever given is Jesus. I got a little picture up here, a little slide, but I want you to hear today this, that Jesus, God's Son, given to the world, make it personal, you and I, that we might be saved. Jesus, heaven's child, of whom heaven wanted, waited, and rejoiced at his coming. Jesus, God's love, God's best, God's Son, God himself, given to us as a helpless little baby in a barn. Jesus came to live, came to heal, came to proclaim. God's love and God's kingdom, came to suffer, came to die, came to rise again victorious, and coming again, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus, from the wooden manger to the wooden cross. You want to do that with me? Come on, you can do it. It's Christmas. Jesus, from the wooden manger to the wooden cross. And today I want to look at God's gifts of love under the tree. How many put your gifts under the tree? Is there anywhere else to put the gifts? I don't think there's an alternate. Is there an alternate to that? His were in the oven. Okay, there's always some strange families out there. But under the tree, but when I say under the tree, I want you to think of the cross of Jesus Christ. That in his coming and in his giving, that Jesus, God's gift of love under the tree, the cross of his son, given to us and for us. And so I want to take some words right out of maybe some of the Christmas stories, scriptures we've already read, and maybe another one out of John, and we could go a long time. Actually, that's a whole sermon series right there. What are God's gifts of love in Jesus? I just want to give us at least, you could get nervous because you're like, well, man, there's a lot of gifts up there. Is that how many points you got? It's Christmas, so I went with what I know. So we got three, all right? So you're off the hook, all right? First of all, this first gift that we have under the tree. You're all excited like I'm going to open it and something's in there. This is just a visual aid. But this box represents joy. What's the first song we sang? Joy to the world, the Lord. Have you ever reflected on that? The Lord has come, therefore the world can have joy. This might seem like the easiest question you've ever heard, but how many of you are part of this world? I mean, there's some kind of stretch where we have to make it personal, and we have to understand that we are the world. I am the world, that God came and that Jesus came and Jesus was given that I might have joy. Here's what we read already in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." What kind of joy is it? It's a great joy. Who's it for? All the people. You is all the people. We are all the people. That joy is for us today. So what is this joy that Jesus came that we might have? I mean, joy, I like the idea that it is a satisfaction and a fulfillment that is found only in God. That really, the human heart is always searching, always looking, always wanting, and there is something missing. And Jesus came to fill that, fulfill that. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Really, the shepherds, I think, those of you who have been around on Christmas Eve, I do the different monologues, and my favorite one really is the shepherd. It's the first one that I do like the angel one too. But anyway, the shepherd one, and it really is just in verse 11, right after, I just read verse 10, but in verse 11, here's what the angel says. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now, Pastor Sam is so simple in his thinking that I can't get past those words, he was born to you. That God, in his infinite plan of redemption and the millions of people that have been, chose these shepherds alone in the middle of a field and sent an entire host of heaven to tell them specifically that Jesus is for you. Shepherds, you don't get any simpler, you don't get any plainer. And in that monologue, I fill in some stories of maybe a shepherd who's really been questioning life, maybe had so many other dreams and aspirations and came up empty and really wondering, is there anybody out there? Is there any kind of hope? And that God would choose in the middle of nowhere to find them to say, Jesus is born for you. Joy to the world. Joy to you. And me, and the fishes under the... No. Sorry, I could not help that. Number two gift. See, we might get out of here, but we're going to call this one peace. Peace on earth, right? Joy to the world. Peace on earth. Once again, let me challenge you, how many of you live on earth? Now, I say that, I really do have fun with my kids. My dad, when we were growing up, he messed with us and tried to give us, you know, insecurity and inferiority complexes. And he told us that he got us from the gypsies. We were not really his children, but the gypsies didn't want us anymore, and so they dropped us off. And And we went round and round with arguments. We didn't really believe him, but he really stuck to his story. I mean, he really did. And it made you wonder. I mean, he had details, these gypsies that brought us. And so, not to have my dad outdo me, I have taken that idea of coming from the gypsies, and I have told my kids that the aliens brought them to us. Kids, can you confirm? Am I pretty consistent with the alien thing? All the time. Okay, see, they're like all the time. They're like, Dad, we don't believe you. You can stop with the whole alien. You know, we pass like windmills in Wisconsin. I'm like, those are the alien communication devices. The mothership is coming back for you. And, you know, I watched E.T. and had them watch E.T. and I grabbed the speak and spell. And when they're bad, I say, don't make me phone home. You know. But I do like to... I do like to mess with them. But even if you're an alien, you still live on Earth, okay? So that was my point. I think I had a point somewhere in there. So peace on Earth. We read back in Luke chapter 2 in the song of the angels when the heavenly hosts appear in the heavens in verses 13 and 14. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God on the highest and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. I guess it does clarify you have to be human, so I guess my point is moot now. But don't tell my children, but they really are human, and everyone in here is. And you are included in this promise. You are included in this gift. You are included in this peace on earth. So what is this peace that he has come to bring you and I? Peace is that calm in the midst of chaos. Every time I hear the word peace, I think of the story of Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, sleeping in the bottom of the boat while the professional fishermen think they're going to die. Such a contrast, right? And Jesus simply gets up and says, peace, be still. That he came to bring us that kind of peace. And I don't know what the chaos or the storm of your life, that can be external, but it can often be very internal. How many know a lot of those people who look like they got it all put together are falling apart inside? And Jesus came that we might have peace, that we might have a wholeness. The very root of that word goes all the way back to the Hebrew word, the idea of shalom, a completeness and a wholeness that would rest upon us. The church father, St. Augustine, famous quote from him, but it's so powerful. He says, you have made us for yourselves, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Jesus came that we might have peace. I love Philippians, where it tells us that we can have a peace that passes understanding. That means it's not something you came up with. It's a peace beyond our understanding. It's a peace that is divine. It is a peace that is supernatural. Peace on earth. Peace to you and to me. And then the final gift, we're going to call this one life. Life. I do want to go to John real quickly. John has a very different Christmas story. It's very theological and very, you know, in the beginning was the Word. I'm going to start. I'll read verses 1 through 4 here. In the beginning was the Word. That's talking about Jesus, the eternal Son of God. Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. If you jumped all the way down to 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among... That's John's Christmas story right there in one verse. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. But in Him was life. Life. John 10:10, we quote that a lot around here, don't we? The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. He came that you might have life. You know what the opposite of life is? Yeah, not good. He came that you can have life. Romans 6:23, I use it for just about every altar call I give. The wages of sin is death. That means what we've earned, what we deserve. But the gift of God, do you see that? The gift of God, the greatest gift, Jesus, the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm really stuck on the illustration I came up with here to illustrate the idea of everlasting eternal life. I went back and did it in the Kinross prison just last week. But the example is this. You want to know what eternal and everlasting life is? Let me define forever. Let me define everlasting. Let me define eternal for you. Here we go. All the time. Now let me give you an example. Now, and all the nows of your life. All the nows of your life, that you might have life. This is the greatest gift, that we might have life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Ephesians 2:8 refers to this gift that has been given. For it is by grace, that means you didn't deserve it, that God did it because he loved you. God's grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. And so I challenge you today. One last verse. Anybody ever heard John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, and all the nows of your life. Whosoever would believe in him. And so this gift is given, the greatest gift that is Jesus is given to the world. Fill in the blank, you and I. Life is on the table. Life is under the tree. Life is in the box. What are you going to do with the life? Maybe we'll go back to Christmas pop culture. How many like the Grinch who stole Christmas? Is that one a tradition in your family, the old one, new one? It's actually my boy's favorite movie. They watch it year-round, and so we get sick of it. sick of it at our house. We no longer watch it with them. You can go to your room and watch that one. But there is a town. What is the town of the Grinch? What is it called? Whoville. I'm going somewhere with this. Whoville. I wish that we were a bunch of who's. And what I mean is John 3:16 says, whosoever, whosoever. I hope the whosoever is you-soever. I know it's I-soever. And may we be a bunch of who's that would be the whosoever that would receive and accept his gift of life. And so I'm at the end. The greatest gift is Jesus. I hope you got that. What do we do with the gift? What do we do with God's gift, his son Jesus, given to us and for us? You can leave the gift right here, or you can take the gift right here. If you bow your heads and close your eyes, I have to ask you here today. Have you received the gift of Jesus Christ given that you might have life, that you might have joy, that you might have peace? If you haven't, you can today. So, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you say, I want to receive the gift of Jesus Christ, just raise your hand so I can see you. Okay. I'll ask one more time. If you raised your hand, you don't have to raise it again. I think I saw you. But if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that gift of life, just raise your hand so I can see you. All right. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pray together, and I think it would be good for all of us to pray. This will be the best Christmas ever. But the good news is, just like the now, the gift is always. The gift is everlasting. His mercies are new every morning. His gifts are available to us that we might live in and walk in the peace and the joy and the life that he came to bring. If you would, repeat after me as we pray together. There's about five of us that raised our hands to receive Jesus today. And so we're going to pray this together. And if you've prayed it before, guess what? I really don't think it hurts you to pray again that, Jesus, I need you. So let's pray. Say, Dear Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I want the life that you give. I want peace in my heart. I want joy in my life. Thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. Thank you for freedom and healing. Thank you for your gifts of love. I give you my heart. I give you my life. And I receive Jesus this Christmas. I will live for you. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you will, stand with me. We're going to do one more thing in closing. All right, I'm into making you move your arms today, so I don't know why that is. It's Christmas, I guess. But since we talked about joy, peace, life, I don't care how long you've known Jesus, the message was still for you. Did you know that? Because those gifts are still given, that you might walk in what he came to bring. So put your hands out like this. Jesus wants to give you some joy, so take it. Say, Jesus, I take joy. Jesus, I take peace. Jesus, I take life. So, Lord, we love you today, and we just pray that you would bless each home and each family. And, Lord, we pray this challenge, like just like the words on the wall there, that we would go live it and that we would go give it. Joy, the peace, and the life that is found in God's greatest gift, his Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we give you praise and honor today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas, and God bless us, everyone.